Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being a part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. We're honoring veterans today, ladies and gentlemen. Yesterday was Veterans Day officially, 11-11, but today we're celebrating it as other people are doing this. Of course, we're working. The government is not working today, but this is our day to celebrate veterans, and we do that with we couldn't do it without our good buddy Joe Davis. Joe has been with us now for a bunch of years. He's director of public affairs at the Veterans of Foreign Wars, VFW, and he is a veteran himself, and he's here to talk to us about what the VFW is doing for our veterans around the world and what happened yesterday. He's going to give us a report on what happened yesterday. Joe Davis, welcome back to the show.
All right, thanks, Jim, and good morning to everybody, and a happy Veterans Day to you, too, as well, and welcome home from your service.
Yeah, thank you for being here, Joe. Yeah. Hey, Joe, so yesterday was the official big day. Tell us what happened. You were outside all day long, weren't you?
It was a long day. I mean, it's always a long day, but it's just an enjoyable day because, you know, it's a celebration of everybody who's ever worn and is wearing the uniform. Yesterday in Washington, D.C., we started off at the 9 a.m. with the Veterans Day ceremony at the National World War II Memorial. Then we moved over to at 11 o'clock to the Arlington National Cemetery, where the president was in France for the official 100th centennial of World War II ending. But we had the VA Secretary, Robert Wilkie, being the presiding official at laying the wreath at the tomb of unknown soldiers. Also at 11 o'clock, there was a World War One over at the National Cathedral, another World War One commemorations at the end of. Mm-hmm. At 1 p.m., we moved down to the Vietnam War Memorial at their ceremony. And at 4 p.m., there's a Korean War, another ceremony over at the Korean War to commemorate Veterans Day. So it was just one packed day in D.C. I'm glad the sun was out. I'm glad the day warmed up from below freezing when we first started out.
Where are veterans? Was there a big crowd? By the way, I was going to ask you: could you tell that there were a lot of folks there who were veterans? Do veterans come out for those events?
Yes, they do. And plus, and the great thing is, you know, so do the kids' classes and whatever field trips that are happen to be in the nation's capital. And you know, it was not as packed in Arlington as it as has been in previous years when the president or the vice president speaks.
Right.
But it is always packed down at the Vietnam Wall. It is always packed down there.
Well, of course, the president was across the pond, commemorating the centennial of the end of World War One. Right.
That is correct, and you know it that's where it started. That's where America emerged as not a first world nation, but as a world superpower, because World War One would have dragged on who knows how many more terrible years unless the United States entered in with our manpower.
I want to tell you a quick story. George S. Seldes wrote a book called Witness to a Century. Folks, it's out of print now, but if you can find a copy of that, you got to read that book. It's an amazing book, Witness to a Century by George S. Seldes. He was a reporter for one of the Chicago papers, I think Chicago Sun and Sun Times, and he was an investigative reporter, Joe, and he went all the way across Bavaria and found one of the top generals of the army. I'm trying to remember his name too, who was now in seclusion. This was after the war, because there was some notion there were things circulating that the reason the Germans lost the World War One was because of the Jews. And he and another guy went all the way across the other side of Bavaria and found this guy in his little cabin where he was, you know, basically just licking his wounds, so to speak, from having lost the war. And they asked him, they said, "Why did you lose the war? Was it because of the Jews?" He said, "It was not because of the Jews. We couldn't beat the Americans."
That was it.
Let me tell you the rest of the story, Joe. Never got reported in Chicago. That report never got in the paper, and consequently, when Hitler said we lost World War I because of the Jews, that was allowed to stand. How about that?
Yeah, it's a shame when people start looking for scapegoats.
But he said we could not beat the Americans. So that's the foundation under what you just said.
Yeah, and it was just, you know, and I've been to Bellawood, and I've been to both the American Battle Monument Cemetery there, and I've been to the German Camp Cemetery, just like a couple clicks down the road. And the German cemetery has the Iron Cross as well as the Jewish Star of David, and all of those grave sites are just kept immaculate.
Yeah.
Because look at all these battles that, you know, have been fought down on just French homeland. And it's just incredible on how they're basically trying to say never again.
Well, that's exactly right. Tell us about what's going on with veterans today, the veterans organizations like yours. What is the membership?
You know, we're now sort of, you know, the VFW, obviously, excuse my hoarseness from being outside. outside.
You're playing hurt, Joe. Thank you.
Yeah, I am. But I'm here proud to be on your show. You know, we were founded in 1899 by a returning Spanish-American War and later Philippine insurrection veterans. And they returned home to a country whose government bore no responsibility. Let me repeat that, bore no responsibility to take care of their service-connected wounds, illness, or injuries. If you had malaria, your family had to pay for your rehab. Mm-hmm. If you came back an amputee, your family had to pay for your rehab. So flash forward 20 years to 1919 when the World War I troops first started coming back from Europe. They came back with horrendous illnesses, but they came back with mustard gas exposure.
Things like we'd never before seen.
Exactly right. Because, you know, now we had the advent of a perfected machine gun along with tanks, super high power artillery.
Mm-hmm.
But the mustard gas exposure, they told you to move to the desert southwest where the lower humidity is supposed to make you feel better. And you came back as an amputee, your family paid for your rehab. That's not right. So at the 1919 VFW National Convention, it was called the National Encampment at that particular time.
Mm-hmm.
They basically created our first Washington office. They created what's now our National Veterans Service to push for veterans' rights and benefits. And it created our National Legislative Service, our lobbying arm and organization.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sadly, what's sad here is that America's veterans need our services in Washington just as much as now.
Yes, just as much. Exactly. Hold on to that thought, Joe. I'm going to let you continue that story, folks. This is one of the reasons why we have this programming on this day is to raise awareness of what our veterans need. 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.